Welcome back to Real Good Movies. This week we're talking about Don't Worry, Darling. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I was nervous for a second. I was like, wait, I didn't watch that movie.
Yeah. No one's going to watch that movie. This week it's Palm Springs.
Good day so far?
Today, tomorrow, it's all the same.
You, what is going on? Hey, get out of the water!
Guess you followed me. It's one of those infinite time loop situations you might have heard about.
That I might have heard about?
Yeah.
I just thought it was topical because last week we talked about Will Smith and like the slap heard around the world, and we joked about it. And like, now, obviously, you've probably seen the news about Harry Styles and the Chris Pine thing.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that. I didn't like dive deep into it, but I saw some surface level headlines and stuff.
And what are your thoughts? Is it ridiculous or is it?
Yeah, seems pretty crazy. I don't know. Like, I guess I didn't get past the part like if that was true or not. Like, is that like a real thing or?
I don't know. Like, I don't think Harry Styles would spit on Chris Pine.
Yeah. I didn't even make it that far into it. Just something what did I read? I don't know. I don't now mixing it up with other things. Like maybe somebody was, I don't know. Who knows?
Like there's real news and stuff that's going on. But somehow I know the ins and outs of Don't Worry, Darling.
I don't know. I don't recall seeing anything about anybody spitting on anybody else, but something about maybe, no, what am I talking about? Shia LaBeouf, right?
Is that whole drama?
Okay, yep. That's what I'm thinking of. I don't know the Chris Pine part. Okay, I'm lost there.
It's not my cup of tea. I tried to like that Hollywood tabloid stuff. Like I'm out. Like I'll read about it, but I'm not weighing in on it. So
sure. So, fair enough.
But yeah, wow. Palm Springs.
Yeah,
Palm Springs. It was between one of two movies that I'm not going to say the other one, just in case it's a future episode.
Sure.
And you gave me the responsibility of just picking a movie. And I thought, this is a movie I watched during first lockdown, maybe second lockdown, when we did lockdowns here. We did two of them. There was two.
It was probably first, right? Like, it was, like, pretty early on and all that, I think.
Yeah.
Because this was, like, supposed to be theatrical and stuff, but it got shifted to straight to whatever Hulu or whatever it was.
Yeah, for you, is it on Amazon Prime is where we get it here.
Oh, it's on Hulu here.
Hulu. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. This came out in like 2020 when movies just weren't coming out. Like you remember that time when nothing came out, everything that was supposed to come out was delayed to like 2022 almost.
Yeah.
And then this was I'm kind of glad that a movie like this went straight to streaming. Cause I don't know if it's in theaters, if people go see it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. There's no way in hell on the cast, on the premise that anyone's really going to see this in the theaters. It's a cool movie, but yeah, based on that, I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. For anybody who's not familiar with Palm Springs, it's a story about a couple of people stuck in a time loop. Two wedding guests develop a budding romance while living the same day over and over again. Like when I first mentioned this movie, is it what you expected?
Yeah, well, I had seen it. I saw it when it first came out. So this wasn't my first viewing. But when I first heard about it, no, it definitely wasn't what I was expecting. I didn't even feel like it was marketed that way as like a that same kind of premise or whatever as like Groundhog Day or Happy Death Day or anything like that time loop type of thing. I don't remember it being marketed that way, but I don't know. I guess it had to have been. That's the premise. But
it's crazy because like I enjoy those movies. I like Groundhog Day, Edge of Tomorrow, like those kind of movies with the learn the lesson and repeat. Source Code's another one of them. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy those kind of movies, and I was not expecting that from this movie at all. Because you see the trailer is just like a some kind of quirky love story,
yeah,
with nothing more underneath it, but. It is a romantic comedy, like you said, but it's not like formulaic. And I think that's what there's like a bit more beneath the surface, almost like the supernatural element to it.
And it definitely lets you get away or lets the characters get away with a little bit more of that kind of like raunchiness that's in those kind of romantic comedies, like your, I don't know what you call those, but like your Wedding Crasher type of stories or whatever, like that raunchiness that's in there. But it gives you a reason to have that raunchiness other than the characters just being an asshole because they are doomed to repeat this day over and over again. So it really just doesn't matter what they do, but
Yeah, and I like that that's a message or theme throughout the movie, that it's like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then it makes you think. There's a lot of, like, you know, the questions that I asked myself, like, what if I was really stuck in a time loop like that? What's the first thing you do? Like, do you go through, do you exhaust all the options in trying to get out, or what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a weird thought to have what you would do in that scenario. I think it's like a lot of those fantastical scenarios that come up. What would you do if you won the lottery? What would you do if you could do anything you wanted? What would you do if you could travel to a different point in time or whatever? But you're stuck in a time loop. It's a really odd situation because it's not really, I mean, it can be beneficial, I guess, but it's also, it seems kind of horrific at the same time to just repeat that same day over and over again. And of course, all of those movies or stories that deal with it kind of play in that element too, like this one does, where it's pretty horrific to them at certain points. But yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you do? Because like you were saying a minute ago, like, nothing matters. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter what you've done. Like, you die, like, you wake up the next morning, you kill somebody, like, you're out of jail the next morning. Nothing matters. There's no stakes to anything that you do whatsoever. So
yeah,
it's weird.
It's something I you're right, I wouldn't want to be part of. But as the movie progresses, she kind of uses her time in during the day to learn about quantum physics and stuff like that. And I never really thought about that until that part of the movie. Sure. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I would do that. That seems like a good, you know, opportunity.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that part, because I was thinking back, and obviously we'll get into this, the meat of this movie whenever we get there or whatever. But I was thinking back to some of those other stories about, you know, being stuck in a time loop. And the ones that really come to mind for me are Groundhog Day and Happy Death Day. Yep. I know there's Edge of Tomorrow and some other ones. I think you said Source Code, but I haven't seen that. But but I try to think back, like, to Groundhog Day or Happy Death Day and how they got out of that time loop. And it's not even, like, I guess to me, like, I didn't even retain that information. It doesn't seem like an important part of the story how they got out of it.
Right.
Which, kind of the same thing with this one. It's fresh on my mind, so of course I know. But I think you ask me 3 months from now how they got out of this time loop, and I probably have no clue.
Yeah, it's that the fun of the time loop is more important than how you get out of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, to make a happy, like, ending story, they have to get out. It's just the way it is.
Yeah,
they cover all their bases with, like, a time loop is not something you have to worry about. It's not like time travel. You can experiment with it more. You can go a little crazier. And this movie goes a little crazy with it, but it does it, like, almost realistically, despite that supernatural cave, you know, which I think a lot of these movies that do the time loop, they don't really explain what causes the time loop, how long somebody's been in the time loop. And that's what I noticed about this, is that it starts with the fissure in the earth. The cave erupts, and you don't know how long Andy Samberg's character has already been in this time loop.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things about it. Once you get deeper into trying to tell stories about fantastical things, you have to, we've talked about this a lot before on other episodes, but you have to get to that point where you're starting to deconstruct the art, and you really have to explain it, and you have to get scientific elements in it, and blah, 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 yada, yada. But it really does take away from it whenever you have to do those things. You can't, I mean, you poke so many holes in time travel, it's just not fun anymore, because we all know time travel doesn't exist. We get it. But but this is the story, you know. We all know that there's not a time loop, hopefully, out there that anyone's living in. But they don't spend a lot of time you know, on what causes it. It's just very simplistic explanation. Hey, here's what's going on. We're in it. Here's how we're dealing with it. And that's kind of it. And
what really helped me, like, believe this movie is the way the characters were, I guess, written or portrayed, is that they almost seem as confused by the whole concept as we do. Like, she was asking Andy Samberg a bunch of questions during the film, and I thought, wow, like, he doesn't know the answer. So I believe it more as a story. So it helps me suspend my disbelief and, like, well, you know what? I'm in on this. So
yeah, I like that part of it too. I think that's kind of the difference between something like time travel stories and time loop stories. A lot of times in the time travel stories, there's a good bit of explanation, of exposition, of all of that. And in the time loops, it's almost like the characters are always like, what's going on here? How the hell do I get out of this? Why is this happening? Like, they don't really have a handle on it, but you go back and watch something like The Time Machine or something, and it's always like a scientist who's trying to figure out a way to time travel, so they understand the aspects of it a little better. But these always seem like weird accidents that happen instead.
You almost need a doc to the Marty, like in time travel movies. But I find in Time Loop, you can just go all out with the characters. And then you got characters like Andy Samberg, like Roy, who we'll get to later. But it's really cool that you can, like, you just evolve and you kind of dive into this time loop and learn about it as the characters do. And I really enjoyed that. But as I was watching this, I was thinking, is it symbolic? I don't know if there's like maybe like it's a metaphor for something, but is it symbolic of something deeper, like a Jordan Peele movie, like Get Out, like Us? Is there something more to this movie, like a hidden message?
I don't know. There's not really one that I see. I'm sure that you could dig into it and at least make one, manufacture one if there's not one there.
Sure. Yeah.
But look, your star is Andy Samberg. So I think right there, you kind of just turn off your brain and just have fun with it. You kind of get that Lonely Island thing going on. It's just goofy fun and it's stupid. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you were to look for some kind of meaning, there's some meaning here. Obviously, Sarah kind of has like a hero's journey or a character arc or something. To her, I can't really say that Niles does that I can really think of, but yes. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Some people on some things on Reddit I was reading about how it might be like symbolic of depression, how you're kind of trapped in this cycle of day after day living. Some really interesting things that, you know, while they don't put it right in your face and say, hey, this is all metaphorical or this means this, it's ambiguous and you kind of take away from it what you want. And I like when movies don't treat me like I'm stupid.
Yeah.
You know, it's frustrating. Andy Samberg in the middle of Brooklyn Nine-Nine when this comes out. How do you feel about Andy Samberg?
I like Andy Samberg. I think he's a lot of fun. I've tried to dive into Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's not really my thing.
Right.
Something about whatever that is just isn't my thing. Kind of the same thing with, like, I mean, these are two different things, but Saturday Night Live, like, I'm just not into that kind of thing, like whatever that is. I like Andy Samberg though. He's funny. He's a funny guy. He is a pretty good actor in my opinion for what he does. And he's a good comedic actor. He delivers on all of that. No problem. I don't know. I like him. He's charismatic. He's got like this look to him where he looks like a Hollywood actor, like definitely. But at the same time, he looks like my next door neighbor or somebody I went to high school with too. like the way he looks. Like, he's just got a cool look to him. Andy Samberg.
How do you feel about him in this movie, performance wise? Were you convinced? Did he play the character like what you're expecting?
Yeah, I think he's pretty synonymous with this. I can't even imagine really anybody else doing it. I mean, I could recast it for sure, but yeah, I really like his performance in this. I think he did a wonderful job.
Yeah, he really like leans into the aloof kind of. He plays a really good, like, I've given up, like nothing matters kind of thing. And you can see that as the story progresses, that he mostly in like the wedding scenes when he's just like, I don't really give a fuck. Just what it is. I'll be back here tomorrow kind of thing. And I really, really enjoyed him there. Is this his best film though? I mean, besides Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping, and Hot Rod, and That's My Boy. Would you say this is one of his best movies?
I like Pop Star. I think that's a pretty fun movie. Maybe hot take, not a huge fan of Hot Rod. I think that's like an important movie to a lot of people.
Yes.
I think that's a pretty, like, I don't know if it's acclaimed or not, but I think it has a pretty big fan base nonetheless.
I would say it's Hot Rod is to Andy Samberg like Wayne's World was to Mike Myers.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense, right?
It's like his vehicle. Yeah. But yeah, I like this. I think I might like Pop Star a little more, even though it's just goofy and stupid, but this one has a better premise, but yeah, I think this is right up there with that.
I actually like when like comedy actors jump into something like a little more serious like this.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see like how they do.
Agreed. And it's very, of course, this is something I'll circle back to later whenever we talk about some other topics or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting because you take, sorry, dog cast again there, but you, yeah, got to make an appearance. You take something like a time loop, and I was talking about time travel before, and time travel is like a whole subgenre of sci-fi. And I think maybe time loop has the potential to become a subgenre of sci-fi. It's not quite there. There's only a few movies that we can really think of that are in that time loop thing. But I think for the most part, Groundhog Day is kind of the first one or the biggest one or the one that kind of comes to mind when you think of time loops. And I think this is a pretty good evolution from that. Like, I think it's pretty good to take that same kind of premise and do something else with it. You can't make a time loop movie and say that you're doing something wholly original. Just like you're not going to take, something like Iron Man or Thor and say that you're doing something really original. It's a superhero movie. But yeah. So this is a time loop movie. So it's already been done. Somebody's already done it. I feel like it comes from Groundhog Day. I'm sure that comes from some source material too, or whatever, or something that predates it as well. But I feel like this is a good next step, or maybe not very next, but you know, next maybe step
like a fresh take on that subgenre. Sure. Because there are quite a few examples of the time loop movie, but they all seem kind of fresh in a way that it's different. Like this Palm Springs, pretty straightforward They're in like Palm Springs, California. It's simple. It's simple and it's nothing crazy. And I feel like these movies, it's okay if they come out every 3 or 4 years because that's when you want like a refreshing take on that kind of movie.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder what you thought about something like Happy Death Day. I actually really love Happy Death Day. I was really, really surprised by it because I kind of ignored it when it first came out, I think for the first year or so. And then I happened to seek it out for some odd reason. And then I watched it and I was, I mean, like, spoiler, if we ever do Happy Death Day, like, it's a fucking, like, 9.5 or a 10. Like, I love that and its sequel. I think they're really good and I really like it a lot. And it's, like you said, that's, to me, is a really, really fresh take. You take something like Groundhog Day and make it, like, this horror thing, you know, almost horror comedy or whatever, and do something really cool with it. Kind of like what they were trying to do with, did you see that movie Freaky? That was like the Freaky Friday take, but with the serial killer. You know what?
I really liked that movie.
Did you? Okay. Okay.
I'll say it. I did.
Okay. Hey, well, nothing wrong with that. I was going to say though, it's kind of like the same thing that they did there. So you take this premise that is a thing that you can't really, you can't distance yourself from because that's obviously where it came from. So, so you're kind of stuck with that, but, I don't know, like what you do with it, how you create that art based on that original art and what you do with it and your interpretation on it. So yeah, I like this a lot. I think this was a good take on that.
Awesome. I'm glad we're in agreement there. One question, not really a question or award, but I wanted to add like a segment where we just talk about trivia from this movie. And these are facts that I pull off online and get your thoughts on. One thing I didn't notice was J.K. Simmons, who appears in as Fletcher on Whiplash. I'm sure a movie most people should have seen.
I haven't seen it, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Okay. Especially as a drummer.
I know. Exactly.
Especially.
Isn't that weird?
Wow. Okay. We'll get there.
Yeah.
In one scene, J.K. Simmons does wear a black shirt with a whip in one hand and right over my head. Pretty cool.
Yeah. That's
pay little homages, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like whenever you take a character from another movie or franchise or whatever and then kind of throw them in there when it's played by the same actor. That's really cool.
Just to see who catches it.
Yeah.
You don't do it for the fans. You don't do it for yourself. You do it just for like the one or two people watching this movie say, hey, that's a direct reference to Whiplash. I like that stuff. It's pretty interesting. Yes. did you have any facts or cool trivia about this movie you wanted to?
Like just a couple of things. It was more about how it did or whatever. But I read that it holds the record for the biggest sale at Sundance.
I thought Sundance. Now I've never been to like Tribeca or Palms or any of those cans. I wasn't aware you had to buy tickets to this thing. I thought it was just like invite only. Like you write for the free press, like you come on in kind of thing. But I that blows my mind.
Well, no, I think what they're saying is the biggest sale, like the film was sold to a studio or whatever from Sundance.
Oh, see,
I guess what they're saying.
I need to get more into the movie industry instead of the talk about movie industry. Okay, well, wow. Okay. That's cool to know, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's how it worked, that they actually sold it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's an option. I think going back to whatever film festival Clerks was a part of, I think it was sold also at that film. Was
okay.
I don't know, but whatever festival they were a part of, they got sold there too.
So that's how they make the cheddar.
So yeah, I think that's a thing that happens. Like, you're an indie film or whatever, and then you go screen at these festivals, and then people can buy up your property.
I really would like to know what movies like Pulp Fiction or these other big name movies, like where they ranked. And the fact that Palm Springs, you know, outperformed most movies at a record. That's pretty wild that this movie, an hour and 30 minutes, outsold all the other movies that year. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, pretty awesome. And then it also broke the record for most viewed Hulu release in its first weekend at the streaming service. So broke a couple of records, a couple of big records there. That's cool.
Big, especially in the age of streaming. I mean, maybe it's not so hard to hit that record because, like we were talking about, it lockdown, you have no choice but to stay home and stream stuff. This is a movie I kind of slept on. I saw the rave reviews for it back when it was doing the film festival tours. And then I saw, oh wow, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, people are talking about this all the time. And that, I think, was what got me to watch it. Actually, maybe this is oversharing, but we watched it at work during lockdown.
Oh, nice.
My boss is listening. I'm toast. You know, when we get some downtime, it was just one of those sporadic, like, I'll just put it on. Fuck it. And it worked out for us. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool. And that's cool. Always cool to have like a communal experience too with something like a movie or like an album or something like that. That always helps you hold it in higher regard, in my opinion, because you associate maybe some relationships you had or memories or whatever with it. And also, side note, since Jared's boss is listening to this podcast, anybody out there is offering employment or whatever, he works for peanuts. So whatever.
I'll do anything. My hobbies include talking about movies.
Exactly. Yeah. If somebody wants to, if there's a festival that wants to pick up this podcast and go ahead and pay us like $17 million, we are right here. Please come on down.
We'll take $17 at
point. 17 cents, whatever. Yeah,
you name it, we're there.
Quarters, even better.
But. Yeah, just fly us out. That's all. Yeah, pretty interesting. I think the streaming is a big success, and like, this isn't a big budget blockbuster. It's not.
It's
a small indie film. It's short and sweet, and it's a premise that I guess everybody. I think this, on watching the movie like this, it helped me realize I love the groundhog type movies.
Yeah.
I love those live, die, repeat movies.
Yeah. They're a lot of fun. There's like a whole like little world to play in there that you can kind of do a lot with. And I think where something like this, we get like there's little stories that Niles tells and stuff like that about him going different places. What was he talking about, smuggling cocaine or something to the equator or whatever he was saying.
But I don't know about you, but I was watching him say those things. I'm like, I would watch like little YouTube shorts of him in those times.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, that's kind of what I was going to get to too, is most of this is spent right there at the wedding ceremony and everything. We have like a couple of other little sets in like a couple of things out on the road, and there's a bar and stuff like that. But most of it's spent right there. And automatically I thought to myself, if I was stuck in a time loop, I'm not sure. I think I would do some like crazy shit, you know, but then again, I guess you're kind of in the middle of the desert. You got to travel pretty far. You've only got the one day to do it. So I guess there's not much you can do with that. So
yeah, when you put it that way, actually.
Yeah. It's like they kind of set it up to where you can't poke that many holes in that part of it. So.
Yeah. And again, it's like an hour and a half indie film. I'm not there to poke holes.
They can't go globetrotting. So I get that. But.
The problem is that they make this a quality movie to a point where you don't, like, you could poke holes, but you don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
So, pretty interesting stuff. In discussing the movie, Christina Milioti, that's an artist. Kristen Milioti? Yeah, okay.
I don't think there's an A on the end. I think it ends with an N, I believe.
Okay, I'm just going to edit that whole part out.
Yeah.
Kristen Milioti has said she's sees a time loop as a nightmare, which I guess most people would. Andy Samberg said he would use the time to watch all of MASH, which aired from 72 to 83. So that's 11 years of TV.
Jesus.
And he would rewatch Elf, which aired from 86 to 1990. I mean, that sounds like something Andy Samberg would do, I guess.
It definitely does. And that poses like another question that I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
If you were stuck in a time loop and you were able to rewatch like any entire show or anything like that, I already know that your number one answer is Full House. So you can leave that on the table. But if there was anything else besides Full and Fuller House, what would you choose to watch?
Oh, you know what? You're clever, because I was going to say Fuller House.
Yeah. Sorry. Already covered. Damn. Sir, already done.
You know what? I'll say it. I don't care how much flack I get. I'm a big fan of Survivor.
Okay. Oh, I like that. Show. I like that. Yes. Yes. Please.
And there is literally 42 seasons of that show.
Good. Good. I was hoping it wasn't going to be something like NCSI or something. So Survivor. Oh, no. I like that. Yeah.
My mom watches NCIS. And sometimes all I would there walk you go. In the
See,
room.
I don't even know the right letters.
I would walk in the room and be like, I wish I was in a time loop.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just like, get me out of here.
I get that in Grey's Anatomy. I'm like, how do people watch this shit?
Oh yeah, there's like 19 seasons of that. Wow. Yeah. Digress. But yeah, yeah. What would you watch?
Oh God. I don't know. Look, I'm always a sucker for Lost. I just watch Lost over and over again. It makes me feel this weird certain way. And I like that unease that it gives me. And I think I would just watch Lost, even though I already do in my real life. So
there you go. How many times have you rewatched it?
Oh God, who knows? At least 6 or 7.
Wow. Impressive. I'm going on my fourth episode or viewing of The Office.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's my comfort show.
Good, good. Nothing wrong with that.
Yep. Well, Groundhog Day was a fundamentally important starting point for the use of time loop. Mm-hmm. The writers and director Barbacow and Ciara said they wanted to distance themselves from the typical time loop. So mm-hmm. they started Andy Samberg in the time loop already.
Yeah.
And they added the second character to kind of give us like some narration, some meaning to it. And I thought that's cool, because they looked at this movie as if it's a sequel to a movie that's never been made. And mm-hmm. I think it worked by that logic, and it added a little bit more mystery to the movie with Andy Samberg's character.
Yeah. And that's such a cool idea or way to start a story, to kind of think, here is this property and I'm going to treat it as a sequel to something that you're not privileged to see or hear about or whatever. That's right. A pretty cool like writing prompt or something. I actually really like that. I think that I would like to do like an exercise with that. I think you could produce some really cool stuff, taking out all of that exposition or whatever and just starting with something and then maybe having to backtrack a little bit to explain. So yeah, pretty cool.
I like that. It makes the time fly, like uncovering these bits by bits, like the part with her sister and the groom at the mm-hmm. wedding, that whole stuff. It was a little bit laid out, but as the movie progresses, there are strings to unravel, and you learn with these characters, which is really remarkable in such a short film.
Yeah, definitely.
No box office facts this because, like you said, it's straight to streaming. That's a tongue twister. First straight to streaming video that we've covered, unless I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think so. As much as I can remember. Yeah, this is the first one.
Yeah.
I also read that. So it came out, I guess in some places in what, 2020, this came out is yep. when it was actually released. Okay. In some places they were releasing this to drive-ins as well. So okay. It came out in drive-ins at the same time that it dropped on streaming, which is pretty cool. I know that they did that here where I live with a couple of movies, but it wasn't until much later after this came out that they had people going out to those drive-ins, and we really only have like one or two anyway. But
yeah, we have one. It's quite a way out, and we actually yeah, like during those whole 2 years, I thought that's interesting. Let's try it. So we went to see a double feature. First one was Jungle Cruise. Okay. The Rock, and mm-hmm. not my cup of tea. I wasn't there
sure,
for that.
Sure, yeah.
And the second movie, however, a little bit better, called Free Guy. You know Free Guy.
Yeah.
With Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
So it wasn't terrible. My buddy's car battery died, however, because you gotta keep the car on to get the sound through the radio.
Yes.
So that was eventful. My first and I think only time at a drive-in. If you've not experienced, our listeners, check it out. Have you ever done a drive-in?
I haven't. I wanted to go so bad for Jurassic Park Dominion. Ooh. Because I still haven't gone to a theater since COVID started. Oh. I actually think the last movie I sat in the theater for, believe it or not, was Jurassic World
Fallen Arches.
Yeah, Fallen Kingdom. Yeah. Fallen Arches. The McDonald's Jurassic World sequel.
But, the great value. Exactly. Walmart brand.
But yeah, I think the last time I sat in a theater was for Fallen Kingdom, and I thought I will go back to the theater for Jurassic Park Dominion, but I will see it in the drive-in. Sorry, I just didn't end up making it. Like you said, it's kind of far out here too. It's a good 30, 45 minutes away, and I'm just not a big sit in the car drive type of person.
No, I'd rather sit in a theater. I think I'm on your side there.
Yeah.
The awards for best scene. I have a couple here of my own, and then see if I've already guessed yours. Okay. The initial cave meeting with J.K. Simmons. Mm-hmm. And the bow and arrow part where he's hunting him.
Okay.
It's just question after question. Like, what in the hell is going on here?
Oh, yeah.
And it was great. Sarah's reaction and the screaming at the beginning too. Like, she's just as lost as we are. I was a big fan of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it also does a very good job at layering the exposition in.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is some exposition that's needed. You need to know what's going on. Sure. And they layer it in with Andy Samberg's character kind of making like a joke of it. Like, he's just over it, but he's kind of explaining real quick and he doesn't even understand what it is. So when he's explaining it to Sarah in the movie, it's kind of like this made up version of what he thinks is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that little bit as well. And my second candidate is the police scene with Roy and his desire to kill Niles.
Yeah.
I liked that recurring thing that just would pop up randomly throughout the movie.
Yeah, I like some of that too. I will get in. I'm sure we're going to have a discussion in a little bit about some of the issues I have with some of that stuff, but I do like it. You almost have like this Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner situation going on with those two. Cuz it gets a little cartoonish with the killing and stuff like that.
Yep.
The bow and arrow thing and the getting hit by cars and stuff like that. So yeah, it's pretty fun and silly. Actually, my best scene is a very, very short snippet, and I actually don't even understand it at all. So if you can provide any explanation, I'd love to hear it. But I really like the little dinosaur scene, but I don't understand what the hell's happening.
Well, he does at one point say they're on mushrooms.
Oh, okay. Correct. I totally missed that both times then. Wow.
Yeah, he says these are some crazy mushrooms, and
okay, then that makes a lot more sense.
unless I'm imagining that, and I someone mean, just
there has to be something, because obviously there's not dinosaurs in this movie. But
yeah, that's one of those things, like, it, totally ambiguous. I mean, how if you believe like a crack, like a fissure in the earth opening, like a time loop portal, then mm-hmm. then I'm sure you'll believe a dinosaur.
Yeah.
It's open to interpretation, like a lot of things in this movie, but I don't know if there's like a straight narrow answer for mm-hmm. that. I just attribute it as drugs. That's it.
That would make more sense, but it was fun regardless. It was nice to see those two kind of connect and watch mm-hmm. those imagine the dinosaurs walk by or whatever, and actually looked pretty good for a movie that I assume probably had like a micro budget or something.
Must have been. Worst scene. What are your opinions there?
All right. So again, this will have to go into some explanation a little bit later when we get to it or whatever. But that kind of reconciliation between Roy and Niles.
Okay.
And maybe I'm just missing something. So I'll throw that out there. I could be missing something. Like, maybe I'm missing the mushroom thing or whatever too. But I'm not, like, the stuff with Roy really does kind of seem shoehorned in and unimportant.
Okay.
I like J.K. Simmons a lot, so I'm not going to complain anytime I see him.
Right.
But I don't see any reason for it. And then, like, the way that it wraps up, like, it's almost like, well, what was the point of this to me? So it was kind of that. I didn't understand why he needed to go to his house and see him and then be shot in the garbage can and all of that. I didn't understand what the purpose was.
Sure. I think Jake, his character Roy, exists only as a vehicle of like helping Andy Samberg realize like there's more to it. Like, if you can find a way out and you think it's worth it, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he kind of helped him in that little backyard scene where the girl's riding a stationary horse, which ironically doesn't go anywhere, just like a time loop. It doesn't go, he doesn't age. And then the kid's watering shit, which will never grow no matter how long he waters it for. So
that was cool.
It was cool. Some symbolism there, but I think it was more or less just him kind of saying, you got to take a chance. If there's a way to get out of this, enjoy the rest of your life. There is more to life than just a time loop. Mm-hmm. And as much as he like enjoyed, this is what I took away. Like, again, it's totally subjective, but I can see at parts, like, why is he showing up? This is kind of not relevant to the story, but I don't know. I think there was a little more to Roy than what you might've seen.
Yeah. And this brings up a whole nother thing with the risk of me sounding like a complete idiot while we're sitting here talking about this movie, but that's okay because I probably do half the time anyways, but
me too.
not that educated in film, I promise, but okay. So I'm, now that you say that, I am expected to believe that he's still, that Roy is still living in a time loop, but he's just learned to live with it and enjoy it for what it is. Like, he's not out of the time loop, right?
I believe there is a mid-credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
In which Roy does return, and apparently, and I didn't catch this, is that Sarah leaves a detailed voice message for Roy, mm-hmm. with instructions on how to get out of the time loop.
Okay, so, but at that point, when Niles goes to visit him, he's still in a time loop, so he's reliving that same day every day where he is in the backyard watching his kids and everything.
Exactly.
Okay. So exactly. I thought so. I just needed to clarify that.
it was cool that there was at least one other person in the time loop, and like how it's cool how each person handles it. Like at the beginning, she was freaking out. She jumped in the pool, like what the hell is going on? And Roy admitted, like, flat out, like, I had a lot of hatred and I just wanted to kill you over and over again, which I'm like, cool. I guess that's pretty neat. I would be pissed at somebody if they got me in that situation too.
Well, sure. Yeah. So that's kind of the ultimate.
yeah. That those conversation part, and especially that part with J.K. Simmons, is where the movie kind of slows down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that realization, like, you love her, go after her kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a huge fan of. So I can see why.
No. And like I kind of said a minute ago, it's not unbearable or anything. It's a great excuse just to see J.K. Simmons on screen, so I'm not gonna complain about that. And then his, him working with Andy Samberg is pretty cool too, but yeah, I don't know.
I get it. No, when you said that you don't really see much purpose for him, maybe you got a point. I think you do. But I don't know. It's tough. Like, how else do you get that message across? It's tough. Mm-hmm. Especially time loop. So what was your favorite character / actor in this movie?
My favorite in this movie is a really weird character in this movie. I liked Darla a lot. She only had a couple of, probably less than a minute of screen time, maybe a minute or so.
Yep.
But she was an interesting character in this. I didn't understand. Obviously she's a chick, older chick that hangs out at the bar or whatever, but, but yeah, she was pretty interesting and funny.
It's always the small roles. I love J.K. Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
I just like his acting, even the small scenes when he first shows up with the bow and arrow and the story's just going haywire. Hate or love the character, I just think he was really interesting in this. But Andy Samberg, I think, really impressed me in this movie more than he did performance-wise than with any other movie. And I love Andy Samberg's character. He's, like you said, he's so funny.
Yeah.
He's a very funny dude. And like, the character comes off as like, it's goofy, silly, like kind of making a joke of things because he can.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's not goofy enough to be labeled like an SNL product.
Yeah, it's definitely not that. There's a little more substance to it than like a SNL type of thing. And I think he is pretty perfect for this story. There's just maybe a few other people I could imagine in the role who might do as well of a job or.
And they are.
Well, okay. since you asked, for Niles, my number one pick was Jason Segel. Is that how you say it? Segel?
Okay. Yeah.
How you say his last name?
I think it's Jason Segel.
Segel, I'm going to go with. I think it's Segel. But I think he could do some pretty cool stuff there. He's not as straight out funny as Andy Samberg. He has a little bit more of like the every guy to him than Andy Samberg does, like with the comedy and stuff, but but he is a pretty cool actor, and I think that he could execute this pretty well and have that good chemistry with the other actors and everything as well. So I think he's my pick for that. Here's my big crazy pick for Sarah. For Sarah, I'm gonna go with big Hollywood, and I'm gonna go big instead of indie here. I'm gonna go with Anne Hathaway. I think Anne Hathaway could do some really cool stuff with Sarah's character. And then my last one, and this one's pretty weird too, is for Roy, for J.K. Simmons' character. I think it would be a really, really cool callback to throw Bill Murray in that role, but I think Bill Murray might be canceled or something. I'm not too sure. My backup is Morgan Freeman, but I'm not sure. I think there's some harassment on the set of something. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's so disappointing to
hear. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that there may be something there. So I need a backup in case. So I'm going to go with Morgan Freeman for my backup. But I think all of that aside, it would be really cool to have that throwback, to have Bill Murray in that role.
I think so too. I think it's a nice little homage. Maybe he says something like a joke about Groundhog Day, or maybe it's even the same character.
There you go.
Would be cool too. Cool.
Yeah. So
what has aged the best? I think for me, it's Groundhog Day's movies. Those formula movies. There's not really been one I couldn't stand to watch or sit through.
Sure.
Even at their low point, they're still pretty good movies.
Yeah, I don't think there's really been a bad one yet. Again, I haven't seen Source Code, so maybe that's absolute garbage and it's the worst movie ever made. I don't know, but
nope.
I highly doubt it based on your expression. So I'm gonna go with that it's at least okay. But all the other ones, and like I was talking about a minute ago, I really like Groundhog Day. I love Happy Death Day. I think it's such a cool take on it. If anybody listening hasn't seen Happy Death Day, like, whether we talk about it ever or not, go out and watch that movie. It's so good. I really, really enjoy it. So
okay, if you really enjoy it, then I think it warrants a discussion.
Yeah,
so,
I'd love to stay tuned. It definitely won't be a surprise whenever I rate it. But I agree with you there. That's what I had for best as well. Was this genre, this budding subgenre of sci-fi fantasy that is the time loop. I really like it. I think there's some cool stories we can tell with that. And I hope that we see some more pretty soon. I hope, like you said, it doesn't get oversaturated or anything, but I think it's a cool, unique vehicle to tell a story. So hopefully we get some more of that.
I'd be okay with that, as long as they don't start turning these into, like you said, just like pumping them out one after another. Just keep it tasteful, keep it unique, and like sneak them in when I'm not expecting them.
Yeah,
like, exactly. I didn't expect that out of
Robert Pattinson one, but I agree.
Is there one with Robert Pattinson?
I'm just doing the Batman. That's all. I'm just making fun of the Batman movie coming out every year.
That's true. Actually, there is. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Not many quotes in this movie, but did anything catch you off guard? I mean, for me, when he says that is a nice leg.
I like that a lot too, and of course we get to hear it over and over again, and it's funny, and it has some setup to it, of course, but there's not a lot of quotes in here. I do like some of the more defeated kind of drab things that he says about being stuck in the time loop and how nothing matters and all that kind of stuff, and I like the one quote where he goes, "You just have to embrace the fact that nothing matters." I like that. That's a pretty cool quote. It's not something that is synonymous with the movie. You couldn't just say that to anybody and they know what you were quoting or anything.
Yeah, Palm Springs. Quote. Yeah. I mean, that would be impressive.
Talking Palm Springs. But it's a cool quote. So I like that.
What piece of movie memorabilia would you keep from this film? This is kind of a tough one to keep in on this movie because it's such a simple movie, I guess.
Yeah, there's not a lot of props in this. There's not much that stands out. Of course, you've got Niles' Hawaiian shirt. You got, I don't know. There's a couple of things here, but I was going to go with the pizza slice float. I think that's pretty cool and iconic for this movie. I think every time I see a pizza float, I will think of this movie. So
I think you nailed that one on the head. I said J.K. Simmons crossbow that he hunts Niles with. I think that's Sure. That was pretty fun. I obviously not to use, but still interesting nonetheless.
Definitely.
With those, that being said, what do we rate this movie out of 10 and why? I'm really curious to see what you stand, where you stand with this.
Me first. So, yeah. This one is hard. This one's really difficult to rate. It's almost like, I almost want to put it on a different scale from a lot of the movies that we've done before, but I'm not going to do that because I feel like that's unjust. You know, we're obviously going with this same thing and sticking with it, but it's like, I want to throw it some bones for certain things. Okay. The fact that it's not a theatrical release, the fact that it's a smaller indie movie, the fact that really we just have, you know, a few core characters and stuff like that. It's a really, really thin plot. All of that, it's like, it makes me want to throw some bones to it, but
sure.
But I'm just going to go off what we have and use that. So look, the time loop thing is a big selling point to me. I expressed already how enthralled I am to have that as a vehicle to write stories upon.
Absolutely.
To use. I think that's a really cool conversation to start. What would you do in this time loop, or what if you're stuck in this one specific situation over and over again? I really like that. I really like the stories that we can tell in that universe. And I appreciate this story. I like how we took something as important as somebody's big wedding day and we made it about some side characters who are involved in that wedding day, as opposed to maybe the main characters, which is, I think, something that they definitely could have done that they didn't do. And I appreciate that. I really like Andy Samberg. I think he's really good for this role. I think it was kind of written for him. Mm-hmm. So there's not too many other people I could see in this role. And I don't know the actress's name well enough, but Kristen
Milioti, I think it is.
Milioti. Okay.
Yeah, I butchered that earlier, if you remember.
Well, fine. But yeah, I'm not too familiar with her output, but sure. I did like her a lot in this. She has like a good chemistry. She's got good chemistry with Andy Samberg in this movie, and she's got like a draw to her. Like, she's pretty magnetic. Like, I definitely wanted to see her every time she was on screen. She's got these nice big eyes that just kind of draw you in. She's a cool actress, and she did well in this movie. So I really feel like that's kind of all I have to go off of, these two main actors. And then the plot. Some would say maybe that's a lot to work with, because it's a movie. So we have two big actors and we have a plot, so that's good. But, but usually whenever we're rating these things, I feel like we have a lot more to go off of. There's a lot more to base our decisions on and add to and take away from and stuff like that. And the only stuff that I really have to take away are the facts that there's not a whole lot of exposition in this. It's not really, really explained why we're in this time loop or what we can do with it. I was satisfied with what we were given with it, though, so I'm not taking away anything from that. But as much as I would love to say that J.K. Simmons really did something for me and I like him a lot as an actor, he just felt so pointless in this movie to me. Okay. His whole character did. I didn't see the same things that you saw with those having another person in the time loop to help explain certain things or another character's perspective. Like, I just didn't see much of a point for it.
Okay.
So that did take away a considerable amount for me of this movie. But with all that said and done, and the fun that I had watching this movie for a second and then third time, and that I would definitely go back and watch it again. It's got great rewatchability. It's just not something I think I could watch like once a year or anything, but I definitely love to go back and rewatch it in a couple of years or whatever. I'm going to give it a solid 7.
Excellent. Okay. And it's one of those movies that I just put it out there. I'm like, well, I just really wonder what he thinks.
Yeah, sure.
And I like these that there's a difference of opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see how close we come to each other. This movie was, like you said, it's simple, it's short and sweet, which is a big thing for me, especially after last week's Independence Day debacle. Yeah, sure. Like, I'm okay. And I said this during Phone Booth, I'm okay if we take an hour and a half. It's easy watch. It's almost like a long episode of something. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. this movie is real. The conversations are real, as much as the situation that they're in is unreal. There's something believable behind the character of Andy Samberg and behind, you know, Sarah's character. There's interesting characters in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I was watching Pulp Fiction, and me and my buddy were talking about this line in this movie, like, just because you are a character doesn't mean you have character. And so many times they'll try to make characters interesting. And I think this movie does a really good job of writing them and making these characters interesting and making us care about these characters, mm-hmm. in a way that some movies can't pull off, as simple as it seemed in this movie. So I was really impressed by that. And Andy Samberg, this movie was the movie that kind of changed my mind. I thought he was funny from SNL, I guess, here and there, a couple shorts. But this movie showed that he does have some acting chops. And you put him in something a little outside of his comfort zone and he can nail it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed with that. This movie, the Groundhog Day type movies, are some of my favorite movies. Like, just honestly, if they made a James Bond movie with like Groundhog Day formula,
oh yeah,
best movie ever made. Never gonna happen, but it would.
There you go. Some fanfic though. I mean, you can get that.
Maybe. I'll try it. So that really added to the score. And the fact that I could rewatch this movie and I didn't even think twice about putting it on,
mm-hmm.
Really elevated this movie. And it's a movie I tell everybody to watch vehemently. Like, I always tell everybody to watch it. Like, I'm looking for something to watch. Have you seen Palm Springs? It's one of those movies. It's just instantly where it ranks against other Groundhog Day type movies. Hard to say. We'll talk about that right after this. But I have to give this movie an 8 for the enjoyment of watching it again, noticing something different, you know, taking something different away from it. It's something I absolutely love, and I got to give it an 8. I just, ever since I watched this movie the first time, it was an 8. I rewatched it. Sometimes the ratings go down. You just don't like something as much as you did a couple years ago, right?
Oh yeah.
And now I watched it, and it's I enjoyed it just as much as the first time. So I think 7 and 8 is a totally fair.
Oh yeah,
this movie.
Very very good score. I think that should tell anybody who hasn't seen this movie, is on the fence about watching it, anything like that, a 7 and an 8, that's go out and watch this movie.
Yeah. That we haven't had one of these movies in a while.
Yeah. Definitely.
Especially after the last couple have been sure, a little bit of stinkers.
Yeah.
But, yeah. yeah. And 94% on Rotten Tomatoes with an 88% audience score. I think that's pretty telling. So last question. Mm-hmm. Where does this rank amongst the Groundhog Day movies that you have seen?
Wow. It's hard. It's hard because of Groundhog Day. I feel like this is actually a better movie than Groundhog Day is. And Happy Death Day is certainly better than both of these movies. So,
okay.
So I'm going to go with this in second place. Happy Death Day first, Groundhog Day third, and Edge of Tomorrow fourth.
Okay.
And Source Code is somewhere in there, but I just haven't seen it yet. So
stay tuned. Maybe that'll be an episode.
It might be a 2.5. Who knows?
But yeah, we'll have to wait another 2021 episodes to get another Groundhog Day. So very interesting take. If I had to say real quick, I'd say, I don't know. I don't want to say Palm Springs is the best Groundhog Day. It's pretty good, but it's tied up there with Source Code and I really, really enjoyed Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, okay, okay.
Gotcha. Edge of Tomorrow, which is that big action superhero mm-hmm. aspect to it. Really cool. So maybe we'll talk about those movies. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. That has been another episode this week, Palm Springs. We hope you enjoyed what we had to say. I'm Jer.
I'm Dan.
And we thank you for listening. Bye-bye.